Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord speaks to us in the spirit, heart to heart, His spirit to our spirit. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, He gave me that title, Heart to Heart. He's talking to His people who love Him. And the Lord made me aware of something just last night. He began to years ago, but He spelled it out for me last night. And I'm enthused to share it, even though it's not the most desirable message. But these are factors. I've been talking about how the foundations God wants. You know, yesterday's broadcast was called a sure footing. You know, God makes, when they build a building, they make a sure footing. And He builds on top of a foundation. God is foundational. And when the word takes root in our hearts, we become established. We become established. But the first thing we got to do is receive His word. And it's up to us. Now, we can receive a lot of things. We can receive the word of God, the word of man, the word of Satan, the word of demons, false religions, the words, the knowledge of science. All these are voices that we receive. And it's up to us to drive out the darkness. I used to wonder, why didn't God just drive out the Canaanites for the Israelites? Well, that was their job. He's not going to do your part. He'll help you do your part. In other words, the people that were there were too big and too powerful for them to do that. They knew the land, they knew the geography, they knew where to hide, they knew where the caves were, they knew all the things about the land. They knew what a bad land was, they knew what a good land was. So when you're chasing them out of town, they could use that against you strategically. And then they were giants and they were stronger. But guess what? God was with them. As long as the tribes that did what God said do, they set out to do what was impossible, God was with them. And this is not the first time it happened. You know, there were battles that Jacob had in the day when the man raped Dinah. They killed a whole town. God was with them. When God is with you, you're not alone, and you can win. And you can fight the good fight and win the good fight. But the first thing you got to do, you can't win against Satan if you think like him. And you can't, even though God is with you, you got to get rid of the things that hold you back. Now, years ago, the Lord taught me about reserve. Now, this was way back in between 92 and 94. The Lord taught me about reserves. And I want to define what they are in case you may not know. Whatever we give to the Lord, you know, our worship, our praise, our finances, ourselves, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. But the things we hold back that we should drive out on purpose, they are reserves. Sometimes people will give God everything, but they still like to, they may allow themselves to listen to country music. Which some country music is not wrong, but some of it is. Or let's go a little something worse than that. Something they may like to watch rated R movies. Yeah, that's a good one. Cause I watched action movies, and some of them were rated R years ago, and they got worse and worse with more language and more filth and. I just stopped. One time, me and my wife, we went to see a movie, and we just walked out of the theater on it. It was too... The guy who was making the movies, he had made other movies. It wasn't as bad as that one. This one was raunchy. The language, it was filthy, you know. They even had a man flirting with a man. We just got up and left. And I just turned my back on our R-rated movies. You know, I watched that movie 300 for the battle scenes. It was gross. But I watched it because of history. Well, if you allow something that you shouldn't, that's a reserve. And 300 was not, that was an educational movie to me. But they had stuff in there that would vex your spirit. I can, you know, I know about battle. We may even have to do battle one day. But the thing is, my dad had to do battle in World War II. It's not something to look forward to. It's not something you want to think about. When you see a city on fire and people cut in half, you don't want to see that. You want to forget those kind of things. But I like to watch war movies because it keeps me sober. It makes me want to do something with the civilian free time that I have. You know, my whole life I've lived without like a world war, a natural war, but I do fight the good fight in a spiritual war, which is just as dangerous. Now, if you don't understand war, you'll take freedom for granted and you'll do dumb stuff. I don't want to feel my days of civilian freedom doing dumb stuff. Somebody paid a cost for me to do the things that I do and serve the Lord that I love. So that's what I'm going to do with the free civilian time that I have. Now, and this freedom is not free. Somebody had to pay for it. Jesus paid the ultimate price for freedom, and so did our soldiers, so that we could be out from under the tyranny of Satan through evil men. We cut out the middleman, so to speak. You have to drive them out. They won't go on their own. But the things you allow that's not right, those are reserves. To some people, it could be cigarettes, or they may do everything, but they drink wine every now and then. There are Christians who like to drink beer sometimes. Now, it's not for me. I decided a long time ago I'm not drinking because of people who drink. And I know that Jesus' first miracle was turning the water to wine, but I leave wine alone because of what I've seen wine do to people. Their cars have whiskey dents, they pee on themselves, they sleep in the alley. I've seen all these things. You know, especially when I moved out on my own, I saw enough and heard about worse. It's not for me. I need to be in my right mind all the time. And I know Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. But I'm talking about bibbing. I'm talking about drinking. Some people allow that. They didn't drive it out of their life. Those are reserves. Some people, they let temper tantrums exist in their life. Those are reserves. Some people say, I'll fuss you out. And they will. And they lose it. Those are reserves. Sometimes it's doubt. Well, they just don't do anything about their pain. They don't pray, and they don't fight. They don't finish the fight until they're healed. They give up. They allow fear, or they don't drive out the fear, the doubt, the unbelief. They let it exist. Those are reserves. And it holds them back. Now, God loves them. Will it interfere with their salvation? As long as they believe that they're washed in the blood, they're washed in the blood. But there are still consequences, and sometimes it can even destroy your salvation. If it turns into something worse, not doing something about things that you know is wrong. If you allow yourself to watch movies that's not right, God left that up to you, but you have to discern, what is this doing to me? How is it helping my life? If you allow interference, it will not leave. Now, the bigger reserve problems are these. Sometimes people know what Jesus said. They know the standards. They believe the standards that he said. They preach it. But they do it on a certain level, a low level or no level at all. Jesus said, it started off in, you know, in chapter, but Peter chapter 3. He said, likewise, ye wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now, that's a good example. And right there, a lot of people missed the point. Let's see, that's 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Now, look at what it said. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be warned by the conversation of the wife, of the wives. Now, when a lot of women read that, and they excuse themselves. Men just put that in there to make us do right. Well, first of all, it started off likewise. Likewise. It's following a thought. Now, how many Christians will actually go back and find out the thought that it's following? Right off the bat, they excuse that scripture. And it's not God's fault if they miss out on greater things. They chose to allow a worldly thought to exist. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what Satan said. Instead of receiving the information that God said. If you read chapter 1 first and then read chapter 3, the whole thing will make sense. If you read chapter 1, then chapter 2, because chapter 2 starts off, wherefore laying aside all malice. It's following chapter 1. And chapter 1 teaches us to love each other like Jesus loves us. And it shows the example, not only love the good, but love the bad. Love the true and love the false. Love everybody. Then he said, likewise, after the pattern that Jesus surrendered, he loved us and laid down his life for us and to honor the Father. I just made a statement in the last broadcast. My parents put each other first. Now, they did that. I know that. I saw it. I lived with them. My dad was at home every night. The only time he was away was when he went to Bible school. All of my life, he was in the house. Mama never had to wonder where he was. He always came home. If he went fishing, he brought back fish. That was one guy a friend of mine told me about. He used to always go fishing. And one day he brought home fish, but it was a receipt in the bag where he bought it. And his wife knew he wasn't out fishing for fish. Nevertheless, my parents served each other. They practiced what First Peter taught. My mother honored my father as a husband and as a pastor. I say this is true. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. I watched them live. And they were more established when I came along. They were in their 40s. So they had been all through that rough patch. And they did the word of God. The word of God works. So I'm not the kind of person that believe in just teaching the word of God. I don't want to just teach the word of God and then be a castaway myself. I put the way I live before ministry. Ministry is going to be ministry. My relationship with God, that's got to be in place. And ministry will happen. I can't do ministry without a relationship. And I'm not going to do it disconnected from the head. And I'm not going to do what other people do. Because it's creating problems. And they don't see it. They don't see it. They don't see the problems that are caused by attempting to do the word of God without being connected to the head. And the Lord told me last night that when people just study the word and preach the word, they're preaching off memory. Now, this is how I mean that. Jesus already said these things and they're preaching it. They're preaching what he said, but in a way that's disconnected from what the Holy Spirit is giving them currently. And you need to do both. We need both in place. We don't deviate from what he said, but when we're connected to the head, he'll cause us to say what's necessary in current moments, in teachable moments. Most people waste that because they just parroting the word of God without a relationship. And sometimes people that preach, their relationship is broken. And they don't have a relationship because of what they allowed in their life. Now, I mentioned one thing was reserves. That's what people hold back on purpose. Then there's something even more subtle and worse, because if you know you're holding it back, you know you need to repent. But then there are allowances. Now, these are the sneaky ones. This is the sin you have to find. And I'm going to explain this. It's going to all make sense in a minute. The sin you have to find. This is the hidden stuff that you don't realize. It's not at the front of your mind. You can't see it. It's camouflaged. The Lord taught me, Michael England mentioned something about a man that had cancer. He was given an exhortation. We were doing a freedom night, a music night. But he did an exhortation. It was perfect. The man had cancer and he had a death sentence. And he was, he didn't want to die. He wanted to live. But he didn't have faith for the situation. And the Lord spoke to him and said, does your wife love you? Yeah, she loved me. Well, do I love you? Do I love you more than your wife? And he knew what God was getting at. In other words, he could believe God for cancer to be healed. He could believe God to be healed if he focused on the way God loved him. Now, and he finished the exhortation, but when I left the church, I said, Lord, people do struggle with healing. What is it about healing? He said, it's as easy as picking fruit. He had told me that before. I said, but something's going on. People, it's not complicated. Jesus, we preached that. By his stripes we're healed. You know, he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. We preach these things, and yet people struggle to be healed. And then the Lord broke it down for me. I knew that it was something that I was missing, and I found it. He said that doubt can exist in different parts of your being. That's the problem. I always focus on doubt in my heart. But you have to do something also about doubt in your mind. And then whenever there's pain or problems, your body expects it to be there. And when you heal, I've experienced all this. When you heal, it's not there. And your body will look for it. And eventually doubt will get in. Doubt is always trying to get in the heart. But it'll rest in different parts of your being. And it'll spread like a cancer. So when I sense something's gone that God's delivered me from, the pain is gone, I say, you will not have it again. I have to speak. I have to speak to the things that shouldn't be there. Now, when God is moving by his spirit and he shows you something, it's up to you to keep it. It's up to you to keep what he says and rely on it. And the Lord said, these are allowances. He taught me that it's what people allow by default. They don't mean to allow it, but they do. Now, here's another example. Pride. Most people know that God hates pride. But they didn't fully drive it out of their life till they can't do it. That's what I did about temptation and also anger and fear. I attacked it so it couldn't hurt me. And the Lord taught me how to do it. He taught me how to kill temptation. I was not satisfied with a dark cloud over my life like I've seen other men do. And I've seen this all my life. I went to church all my life. So I heard Christian men say, I just don't know what to do about women. They admit it. They don't want to go out there, but they're being tempted. They're continually tempted, and they don't know how to kill it. I said, Lord, there's got to be a way to kill that problem. And he taught me to love them, and he taught me not to fear falling. Fear was something I didn't know was a factor. Only he showed me that. But when he said this, I didn't see myself subject to temptation. I saw temptation subject to me. That's why the supermodels, they walk the aisle like they own the room, like they're the king. Not the queen, but the king. You bow down to me. And I've seen women act like that. And they try to they thrive on attention. And so I love to carry on and have fun. So when I see them do that, I look at them, then I ignore them. I won't never look at them again. And it makes them mad. They don't. And it I love to, you know, I like to play. I like to carry on. But I do that. I worked at a dealership, and when a beautiful woman walk in the shop, all the guys act like they never seen a woman before. And they like a deer in the headlight. And so they look at me to see if I'm going what I'm gonna do. Well, I look, I acknowledge them, and then I keep on working. Never look back at them. And they one of them came and asked me about that. Was that your sister? I said, no. Is that your wife? No. So and they want that, it puzzles them. But nevertheless, you're not affected. That people expect. Everybody expect you to be and do what they do. Whatever they're into, they expect it to be a natural response for you to do and think and process just like them. And then when you don't, they have to consider it. Now, the Lord taught me something that amazed me. This knowledge is spiritual. We are natural and we're spiritual. So what I'm saying about allowance is you don't have to allow anything you don't want. If it's not of God, you can drive it out of your life. And it'll never be a problem again. But I'm not saying drive it out and then act the part. No. Drive it out and keep it out. Don't let it come back. Do warfare. Do whatever it takes. Don't let the dragon come back. You kick the snake out the garden. Don't let him come back as a snake or a dragon. Don't let him grow. Don't let him come back in your life. Racism. Some people, they know that racism's wrong and they don't like it. But and this is for every race. I live life arise higher. I say everybody is made in God's. If you truly listen to Jesus, and you love people like Jesus loved you, it don't matter what background they come from. Years ago, the Lord said, it honors me when people of different origins come together and marry, because it openly goes against the world system of hatred. So God is not in racism, he's not in any form of hatred, and he loves every soul just like Jesus loves you. He sent Jesus. Jesus willingly came and died for us, laid his whole life down for us, and picked it up and picked us up with him. That's the love I'm here to represent in my civilian freedom. God has blessed me not to see the evils of natural war. But in my civilian freedom, I'm going to love everybody, every soul, whether they do me right or wrong, just like Jesus loved me, and without hypocrisy and without animosity. And it's unfeigned love. It's real. Now, I didn't allow hatred, racism, just like I didn't allow fear. I don't allow pride. I hate pride. I don't remember being jealous of anybody to the point of envy. But when I saw that God hates pride, I attacked pride as if it was a problem. You know, I never smoked a cigarette. I remember when I was crying out to the Lord about temptation. I said, Lord, I want temptation to be just like cigarette. I can't be tempted with a cigarette because I never smoked a cigarette. I don't even know what it's like. I said, I want whatever I see, whatever's trying to tempt me, to be like cigarettes. Do it. I said, I don't know how to do it. Help me do it. And then as the Lord gave me information, I jumped on it. I attacked the problem. This is how you kill a lot. And some people don't do that. They don't deal with it to that degree. They say, well, if they do something wrong, they just casually repent. Lord, I'm sorry. And they are. I shouldn't have said, I shouldn't have thought that, I shouldn't have behaved that way. And sometimes they'll go back and apologize. All that's wonderful. And I'm not trying to put anybody in any form of condemnation. Hear me out. But you can attack something and hate something to the point that it will never rise up in you. It won't be there. Then God can build on a clean foundation. And so it is with everything, with pride. Some preachers, and I've run into this too many times. I've seen it with my own eyes, what I'm about to say. I do not like to say things like this. There's no animosity. I don't hate the people that did this. I only despise the problem that it caused. I've seen a lot of preachers coming up, young preachers. Older preachers would get jealous, and if you preach too good at a church, you're not going to ever be invited back again. Now, something's wrong with that. Sometimes people feel threatened or they feel envious. The Lord put it to me this way, Cain, the spirit of Cain. Cain murdered Abel. And the spirit of Cain is rampant in the church. If you have a good idea, people sit on it. It wasn't their idea. It will solve many problems, but it'll make you look good too, so we're not going to do that. We're going to squash that. They just murdered what the Holy Spirit tried to introduce. Because eventually, when people become anointed, they can do things far beyond their intelligence, beyond their human capabilities. The anointing is supernatural, and it will cause natural people to do super things that supersedes the natural. And instead of embracing it, you would think, after reading what Adam did, Cain did to Abel, you'll say, well, I'm not going to do people that way. But that's not the case. I can testify many times what happened in my life. And I started noticing a pattern. I would study, go before the Lord, minister what God gave me. People would get blessed. And then they don't want you to preach anymore. I'm not just saying this. The Lord showed me a dream before. I was a pastor I loved. And I had one dream. He didn't even want me to come to the church. He wanted me to leave. Then I had another one. He didn't want me to preach. I said, well, this is my friend. I'm going to confront him about it. So I went and told him about it. I said, I had a dream. You don't want me preaching here. He said, and you didn't preach anymore neither, did you? He voiced it. The spirit of Cain is alive. Cain died, but his spirit, not his human spirit, but the spirit that tempted him to murder Abel is alive now. And it's holding things back. Men have allowed little bitty foxes to destroy and stall the work of God in their life. They get jealous. They don't even realize it. The Lord showed me when I woke up last night. He said, this sin is camouflaged. They can't see it, but they act on it. It's a reserve, and sometimes it's an allowance. Sometimes people present themselves to the Lord. Lord, anything that's not right in me, help me get rid. I do that. That's why I do it. But they don't lay in prayer long enough for God to show them things. If you go in his presence enough, you're going to see things as they truly are. But if you're the kind of preacher say, well, I give up. I'm going to do it God's way, and that's the only way I'm going to do it. Now you can get somewhere. Lord, now he only builds on a holy, strong foundation. Before he can go any further, you know, you can operate in the anointing that he already gave you. But you're not going to go any further until you solve these old secret problems. The way you treat people. You have to want this. If you don't want it, you're not going to do it. I promise you, you're not going to do it. The only way you'll you have to want the heart of God to operate according to the heart of God. It's got to become important to you, and you can't just receive God's knowledge and live there. you have to also drive out the Canaanites, or they're going to come back and be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. Now, some people don't let the devil fool them, and they do manage to get rid of their allowances and their reserves. And I like to say God can take a small, he likes to solve millions of problems with a fraction of one. He uses, we're learning him, and we're growing from glory to glory. And until we grow, God uses us where we're at. But he has to build on a strong foundation. He won't build a superstructure on a weak foundation. He's got to fix the cracks first. And it takes a long time. That's why it takes so long for people to do things. And they grow from glory to glory. Then in the last 20, 30 years of their life, God do great things. That's because he built the foundation first. You can't build a ministry and you still got an allowance of racism. It's going to come out. Whatever's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. And the enemy already has people expecting a man of one race to be at odds with a man of another race. And they're looking for it. And time something happened that looks, it don't have to be true. Once it looks like the part, then people jump on that and they slander each other. Now they're in trouble for slandering you. Or you're in trouble for slandering them or somebody else. Instead of handling things biblically, you have to have the heart of God and you have to be connected to the head. When things happen that's not right, I immediately go to the Lord. Lord, how do we deal with this? I let God guide me into that.